We now turn to the third Marian dogma, the bodily assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, and consider it also in connection with the theology of the body. We should note that this dogma was late or recent in being defined with Pope Pius XII's apostolic constitution called Munificentissimus Deus, promulgated on November 1st, 1950. Some of you might have been around at the time. Nonetheless, while the dogma's definition is chronologically recent, it plunges its roots deep in the Bible itself, especially the book of Revelation. As Revelation chapter 11 transitions to Revelation chapter 12, John describes the Ark of the Covenant, not as a box covered with gold, but as a woman clothed with the sun. We read, "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple." That's the last verse of Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. And then to describe the dimensions of this box, John continues with the dimensions of a body. "A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." As we know, the Ark of the Covenant was the holiest object in Israel's religion because it carried the Holy of Holies. In heaven, however, the Ark's prerogatives have been transferred to Mary because she carried Jesus, the true and eternal Holy of Holies. Pope Benedict XVI closed his book, Daughter Zion, with precisely the same insight about Mary as the Ark. He reflected, "Marian devotion is the rapture of joy over the true, indestructible Israel. It is the praise of him to whom the daughter Zion owes her whole self and whom she bears, the true, incorruptible, indestructible Ark of the Covenant." You know, if St. John the Apostle had directed the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones would not have discovered a golden box, but rather a glorified body, the woman clothed with the sun. In his Theology of the Body, John Paul II also contemplates the resurrection of the body. And everything he proposes in general about all glorified human bodies can be applied in particular to the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In our earlier analyses of glorified humanity, the state of the body after the resurrection, we learned that all humanity looks forward to two destinies. One destiny is personal and individual. The second is communal and corporate. And if you will forgive the fancy terms, we call them eschatological integrity and eschatological virginity. That is, firstly, our personal, individual destiny will consist of the perfect reunion of the body with the soul, a profound spiritualization, and a permanent divinization. And secondly, our communal, corporate end will be a virginal marriage of all humanity gathered in the church as the bride eternally married to Jesus, the bridegroom. In his apostolic constitution, Pope Pius XII explains how these two human destinies are fulfilled in the one person of Mary. He teaches, these scriptures, meaning the scripture passages from Psalm 131, verse 8, Psalm 44, 10 through 14 and following, Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 6, and also chapter 4, verse 8, and 6, verse 9, are proposed as depicting Mary as that heavenly queen and heavenly spouse who has been lifted up to the courts of heaven with the divine bridegroom. Did you catch that twofold destiny in the Pope's summary sentence? On the one hand, Mary's queenship indicates her individual goal and thereby also signals our personal end as kings and queens. My friends, we are born to be royals. On the other hand, Mary as spouse suggests that she personally embodies the whole church as the bride in relation to her divine Son, Jesus. And therefore, our communal destiny is to belong to the bride, the church, in an unspeakably intimate spousal relationship with Jesus. You know, without getting too weird or creepy, Mary was the only mother who never felt any jealousy or rivalry with her daughter-in-law. Why not? Because she desired the whole world to marry her son. As queen and spouse in heaven, therefore, Mary fulfills her twofold destiny and symbolizes for humanity our own dual destiny. In other words, when we get to heaven and behold Mary, the Queen Mother, like John did, we too will see Mary's glorified body rather than a golden box. John Paul's theology of the body also probes the significance of the glorified body. First, in the likeness of a queen. He describes the interaction between the glorified body and God as that of a king and queen lovingly gazing at each other. He writes, as a consequence of the vision of God face to face, a love of such depth and power of concentration on God himself will be born in the person, that it completely absorbs the person's whole psychosomatic subjectivity. For John Paul, the word subjectivity signifies everything that a human person, a body, soul, composite, can possibly experience. Even though he does not mention Mary explicitly in this connection, he would certainly agree that Mary enjoys subjectivity in heaven to a superlative degree. In other words, if God has placed a crown of 12 stars on Mary's head, he also desires to crown us as kings and queens, so that our subjectivity might also become supernatural. Secondly, John Paul considers humanity's communal goal in terms of what he calls intersubjectivity, or what the church traditionally called the communion of saints. See if you can follow the Pope's logic. We should think of the reality of the other world in the categories of the rediscovery of a new perfect subjectivity of each person as a king or a queen. And at the same time, the rediscovery of a new perfect intersubjectivity of all as the communion of saints. Then he connects the communal subjectivity with spousehood, marriage, adding, "In this way, this reality of heaven means the true and definitive fulfillment of human subjectivity and the definitive fulfillment of the spousal meaning of the body. That is, while there will not be the conventional marriage in heaven, a man married to a woman, nonetheless, there will be spousehood." How so? Well, the communion of saints will be transformed into the bride of Christ, the church, eternally and ecstatically united to her divine bridegroom, Jesus, enjoying the heavenly nuptials. I don't know about you, but I often struggle to meditate on the fourth joyful mystery of the rosary, the Assumption. I find it kind of ho-hum. But when we behold Mary's bodily assumption in the light of what God created the body for in the beginning, our minds should explode with light and love. Why? Because in the beginning, God made Adam and Eve's bodies to signify not only that they were of royal pedigree, kings and queens of earth, but also to signify their spousehood, to be bride and groom. And Mary's bodily assumption takes that original endowment of the body in Genesis and increases it exponentially in Revelation. In the fourth joyful mystery, therefore, we should meditate on the transition from Revelation chapter 11 to Revelation chapter 12, and how the Ark of the Covenant is no longer a golden box, but a glorified body, and that body's name is Mary. Praised be Jesus Christ.